Hello, listeners, and welcome to Visit Bentonville's A New American Town podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Oz Trails, and we are recording in Haxton Road Studios in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. We have a superstar guest today with us, who you may recognize if you watch YouTube and ride two wheels on dirt, Neil Donahue from Global Mountain Biking Network, or GMBN. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. I'm not sure about the superstar bit, but I'll take it.
All right. Please do. You and your team are here for Bentonville Bike Fest. You're able to fit us in your busy schedule. Thanks so much for being here. This is such a cool opportunity to speak with you today.
Oh, thank you. It's a very nice studio we're in today, and it's great to be back. And yeah, I've already been riding today, but it's slightly jet lagged. So it's nice to do a little bit of riding, a little bit of sitting around and drinking coffee. And it's great to be here. Thanks.
Of course. How long's the flight across the pond?
It's like 10 hours pretty much, and then you connect from Chicago, but it's okay, getting used to it.
Yeah, Bentonville's excited to have you all back.
Yeah, like it's really fun. Like, we came last spring, I guess it was, and really enjoyed the place and didn't get to see as much as we'd hope of the trails. So yeah, hopefully we're going to see a bit more and investigate some more of the areas and ride some good trails whilst we're here.
Absolutely. Weather's looking good, knock on wood. Neil, can you please introduce yourself to our listeners first off?
I'm Neil Donahue. I'm from England, former professional mountain bike racer. I raced downhill for sort of 10 years, then moved into enduro, became a skills coach. So sort of 15 years of being a pro mountain biker. And then when GMBN started, I was right there. It's kind of so jumped on board. I guess I was kind of getting to the end of my racing career anyway. So it was a good timing really for me to start with the start of the Global Mountain Bike Network. And really that started in 2016 when YouTube was just becoming a much bigger thing. And like, it'd been around for a while already, but that's when the channels really start to grow and people were, you know, finding their niches, whatever they were into, whether it's fishing or cycling or whatever. And that's when our business just grew massively. So it was a transition for me to go from just riding a bike for a living to actually sort of riding and talking about bikes. But yeah, that was, you know, how long ago is that now? We're getting almost 8 years, I guess, for the channel. So it's grown. And actually, US has always been important to us. It's actually our biggest market, biggest demographic, sort of US, then the UK, and then really the rest of the world. So we've always been active trying to get to the US and investigate some more of the North American riding. So I guess that's a bit of an intro.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about before your professional career? Paint us a picture of what Neil looked like on bikes before that.
Yeah, just normal, I guess. I grew up in Shropshire in England, which is fairly rural, and it was quite a hot spot for riding. There's a good community of bike riders and also professional racers. There was a few. So I just, you know, went to school, did, you know, rode my bike every weekend, every day. And it kind of just snowballed from there. And like I said, there was a few pros around to be inspired by. And I never really thought I'd become a pro racer, but I kind of stumbled into it a little bit. Went through your average sort of educational path, went to university. But actually, I took a year out before I went to university. And probably the biggest mistake I made, because I just raced and traveled and rode my bike, and going back to study was quite difficult. So yeah, started off doing mechanical engineering degree, but kind of dropped out of that. But fortunately at the time I was offered my first pro deal. And then that was it really, kind of went from there.
Amazing. Perfect segue, because I want to ask you about school and kind of your path to where you've gotten now. As you mentioned, you studied mechanical engineering in England, raced mountain bikes a bunch, then became a presenter and later a director on GMBN. Did you ever think during your engineering classes that you'd end up where you are now?
No, definitely not. I'm not sure I ever really had a long-term plan, but I did realize that I couldn't do engineering, to be honest. I knew that maybe that academic path was had been and gone for me. And really, there was no sort of plan B. I just love riding a bike, and that's kind of how most people get good at doing something like that, I suppose. You know, whether it's golf or tennis or whatever, it's just really wanting to do it all the time. And it's not the easiest thing to make a living at. I think hopefully it's getting better. You know, the coverage is getting greater all the time for races, and the kind of the junior pathway is easier now. But I sort of scraped by for a few years, and like I say, kind of it was a big transition moving into what I'm doing now. But fortunately, I was there from the start as well, because I feel like it's much harder now because we've got a big audience for new presenters to come on now. You've got to try and be good straight away. But I was there at the start and you could be a bit rubbish, but no one really watched. And then as you got better, the audience came with you. So I kind of had the easier pathway into it, I suppose. But I guess not a lot of my friends would have imagined me presenting YouTube videos, and I wouldn't have either. But it's easy when you're talking about something that you know you like doing and you know enough about. And I've got 26 years experience of mountain biking, so it's not that difficult. It's not that big a transition as maybe I would have expected.
Yeah, I love watching you all's videos. Your passion and your knowledge always comes through so clearly and is articulated so well. Love your videos. So you said the US is your biggest market. So what was the first time you came to Bentonville and why?
Yeah, we came last year just because it's kind of unavoidable, really, that we've seen the momentum grow with this place. And there's obviously been other pros and YouTube channels, and it, you know, the kind of just the exposure it's got has been growing all the time. So it was a great opportunity for us to come here and, like I say, check it out and kind of see what was going on. But it's great this year. We're here at the same time as the festival, which we missed last year. And it sounds like there's loads of people coming, loads of pros. And even today, you know, I've just done a morning on the trails and I've kind of met quite a few people already that have come to say hello. So last year we were fortunate. We did a bit of a sort of, I wouldn't say an organized ride out because it was very last minute. We put a post on Instagram and we got, you know, a few hundred people came to ride with us, which is always really humbling because, you know, when you're on the videos, you see the comments and you see the numbers, I guess, but you don't often meet the people. And that's been great, especially come to US. Like, we often go to Sea Otter in California and you get a great reception there, but we don't really get to ride that much there. So it's very nice to come here and be able to hang out, meet people, but also spend a really good amount of time on the bike as well.
Absolutely. And you mentioned you're here, your trip overlaps with Bentonville Bike Fest. Are you doing anything with the event? Are you going to be present at any of the races or demos or events, or is there any overlap?
There definitely is. I haven't prepared so much yet. Like, I'm not 100% sure, but we will be hanging out for sure and checking it out, going over. I don't think there's anything actually kind of organized for us to be there as such, but I'm definitely, you know, going to catch it, and we'll try and be there for most days, I guess, and meet people, make some videos. You know, we're going to be out on the trails, of course, but I'm sure there's some interesting stuff at the festival as well. So
most definitely it's going to be huge. And luckily, like we said earlier, weather should be good.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I've seen the list of the invited riders as well, and there's some really cool people that I've actually been kind of messaging and hoping to catch and do some videos with, people like Michaela Gatto and Seth from Burn Peak and people like that. And yeah, I'm really excited to go meet all those guys. Some of the people that I see and some that I watch on YouTube that I haven't necessarily met. So yeah, should be really cool.
Can we get any teasers or sneak peeks about any of the topics of the videos you might be making this week?
All sorts, yeah. The kind of the bread and butter of the channel, kind of the skills videos. That's what I've been doing today, kind of easy ones. But one of the videos I wanted to make actually is kind of a travel vlog where I come and try and find the best trails around here. So I've already been asking people, you know, all the people I've met today, I've asked them their favorite trail. So I'm going to make a list of, I don't know, maybe a dozen trails and make the video where I kind of tick them off and try and find the best trail in Bentonville. And I'm really keen to hear everyone's suggestions.
Nice. So it's more kind of like survey based.
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you like?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a great chance to ride all the best trails. So I often try and kind of anchor a video around something that I really want to do if there's something cool, and then I think, well, I'd love to go and do that, and hopefully people will want to watch that as well. So it's best of both worlds.
Yeah, and since you were here last year, I'm sure it probably looks a little different. There's more trails have gotten refreshes and updates, and there's tons of new stuff for you to try just after 1 year.
Yeah, exactly. I think last year we were told some crazy statistic on how many miles of trail are built every year, and yeah, already this morning we've seen fresh trails that we've not ridden before, and hoping to jump on some of these group rides as well so we can get shown some of the trails that we maybe wouldn't find because they're just ones that are tucked away. So I'd love to hear what the locals have and you know, their favorite trails, and they get to show us those trails. So yeah, love it.
Amazing. So coming from someone who doesn't live here and ride the trails almost every day, do you have any advice for someone's first visit to Bentonville to ride the trails?
I guess, yeah, I definitely the group rides. I mean, like I say, we're lucky that people come and stop us and want to talk to us. And that's when I start the conversation and ask them, where should we go or what should we do? And, you know, luckily last time we had someone like Gary showing us around and telling us, you know, like we went to Handcut Hollow up to Bella Vista. Last year, actually, we spent a bit of time in the car making sure we saw everything. But this time, I want to kind of ride out from everywhere because it's so accessible from downtown. That that's kind of the change I want to make this year. And but we, you know, we kind of had a little bit of wet weather last time, so we were kind of dodging the clouds a little bit and went over to Rogers and Road. Is it the rail yard?
Yes,
over
there? It is.
So that's a great fun spot and brilliant for making videos as well. It worked really brilliantly for us. So yeah, this time, like I say, I just kind of want to get a few more miles under my belt and see more of it, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like you mentioned, all of those places, in addition to the trails in Bentonville, are so accessible, whether it's by trail or Greenway Connector, even all the way over to Rogers or up to Bella Vista. The connectivity is really improving to those areas. So even if you're staying in downtown Bentonville, you can ride in Bentonville, you can ride in surrounding areas and make your way back to town fairly easily on your bikes.
Yeah. And the one thing, I guess, it, you know, you kind of, you don't have that much elevation change here, but that's almost the beauty of the place, is that you can ride one spot and you've done a few hundred meters of climbing or whatever, or, you know, how many hundred feet, and you can then choose to go ride somewhere else. It's not like you're going to the huge mountains where you kind of, you're in one spot and you're riding that place. And I was kind of maybe slightly dubious of before I came here that there isn't that much elevation, but actually I think it plays perfectly to, like, say the greenways and the way you can ride on the bike path from one place to the next and check out, you know, huge amount of miles of trails.
Neil, we have a lot of young talent in Bentonville when it comes to local mountain bikers. Many of them like to create content and will tag Oz Trails, Visit Bentonville, and Bike Bentonville in their posts for us to reshare on social. GMBN has almost 2 million subscribers on YouTube and nearly 1 million Instagram followers. Do you have any tips for up-and-coming riders on creating content and sharing it online?
Yeah, I guess from when we started, the landscape's changed. You know, the great thing about YouTube is that anyone can do it, but also that's the challenge, is being good at it and getting traction and finding your audience. But there's so many different types of channels now. I think we kind of followed the original blueprint of these channels where you're kind of trying to do a bit of everything. Like, we have a news show one day and a skills video the next, and then features. And we have all these kind of strands of ideas and themes for videos. And for us, we kind of, you know, it's kind of a suck and see thing. You see what works. And we've done a lot of different strands of videos that didn't work. And you've just thrown them on the rubbish pile and not done them again. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot more niches where if someone is true to themselves and they do a certain type of video, then, you know, they kind of work out what works for them as much as anything. But it is trying to be present across all sorts of social media and use that to build your YouTube. And it's not quite as simple as it was, where YouTube was our business, and now it's not just that. There's way more going on with TikTok or Twitter and, you know, Facebook and Reels on Instagram, where you monetize things slightly differently, but also you might use a YouTube short to push people towards their actual long form videos on YouTube. And it is probably that those short videos that we kind of probably need to spend a bit more time on, but you see a lot of these smaller channels getting really fast success with having a really popular short video that then maybe drives people towards their YouTube channel. And it's one of those things, you never really know how it works. YouTube, you know, we even talked to the business contacts there, and they won't tell you how the algorithm works. You've always got to work it out yourself. But
and it's changing almost every day, it feels like.
Yeah, it almost feels to me like they don't really know how it works. And then maybe they don't with AI and things like that. But it definitely looks like short video at the moment is big. So if you can have a great idea, and it all revolves around great ideas, you can be anyone. You don't have to have a massive following, but if it's a great idea, it will get the audience. And it might be completely different to what everyone else is doing, because you do see all sorts, even within the mountain bike, you know, sort of area, there's way different channels that are super pro, or they're the complete opposite end of the scale. But it's doing, I guess, what you want to do and trying to find the audience for it.
Amazing. Thanks so much for sharing your insight on that. Next, I have a kind of an unscripted question for you. Just like we have Oz Trails, we just launched a new brand called Oz Gravel for gravel cycling. Is there gravel cycling where you guys are based in the UK? And if so, or if not, for that matter, do you see yourselves wanting to come back and maybe do some gravel cycling videos here in Northwest Arkansas?
Yeah, for sure. I've seen lots of people riding gravel bikes around already today, actually. There is. Gravel in the UK is different. We don't have the vast landscapes that you do of North America. So, I mean, I do it. But it's a kind of, for me, I don't ride a road bike anymore. I have a gravel bike that I ride on the road and a bit of single track. But it's different. We have, you know, fire roads and forest tracks. And there are some certain parts of the UK where it's good, but we don't really have the sort of the wilderness that you guys are blessed with, where you can just get out and ride and get away from the traffic. But yeah, it's definitely a big thing as well in the UK, but like I say, it's kind of not quite the same, but I know a lot of people do it, and it is one of those markets, or, you know, that the type of cycling that is getting super popular. I guess people want to get away from the roads as much as anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, my first love is the mountain bike, but I do ride all sorts of bikes, and yeah, I like doing it for a bit of fitness.
Amazing. All right, Neil, well, we've covered a lot today. Is there anything else you want to talk about or add to our conversation?
Not massively, but yeah, super thankful for being here, and can't wait to see some more of the trails this week and hang out at the festival as well.
Amazing. Well, Neil, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of Visit Bentonville's A New American Town podcast. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to follow Oz Trails, Neil Donahue, GMBN, and Visit Bentonville on social media. See you out on the trails.